The Lord is good. I say the Lord is good. If you believe it, say a happy amen.
Amen.
All right, a happy one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles again this morning to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. To declare of the glory of the Lord. I think we should know that one by heart now, most of us. Jeremiah chapter 10, are we there? We normally start from which verse?
6.
And we read to which verse?
16.
Good, 11 verses. Now, 1, 2, let's go.
There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ophir, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes. And the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful morning. The earth smells blessed.
Yes.
You know, Isaac said to Jacob, said, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Then he began to pronounce a blessing. You are blessed this morning.
Amen.
I said, you are blessed this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we receive insight, we receive understanding from you. Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm giving in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we're reading that declaration of the Lord's glory from Jeremiah chapter 10, as soon as we finished, I almost didn't do the our declaration of understanding, because suddenly I had the urge to begin to teach on something. Even let me see, I want to just give us a small charge, then I'll get into the thing I planned to, you know, share with us today. Please let me say this again. The person the Bible talks about the most is who? God. So the person the Bible talks about the most is God. Please, I've said this many times. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, the plan of the devil was never mentioned. Nobody talked about the devil. Nobody. If you go through all the stories of the law and the prophets, the history right? In the Bible, what they call this, the writings. One day I sat down and checked. I thought about it. And I can't remember the exact number, but it's not many. You will find Satan, by whatever name, Genesis to Malachi. Now, if you get to the New Testament, you hear mentioned a number of times. You hear demons talked about a number of times. If you read all the writings of Paul, I don't think the reference to the devil is also up to, it's more than a handful or less than a dozen that's talking about the devil, all right? Okay, but it's not many. I'm just trying to do a small calculation. Peter will tell you the adversary, the devil. That's probably the only time, or maybe twice, he mentioned him. You understand? Those guys hardly talked about him. It's always about God. Thanks be to God. Even in the midst of adversity, Paul will tell you, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph. Now, this is a man who has struggles. What he said, there was a time, if you go and read that 2 Corinthians, when he was introducing stuff, he said there was a time they were so harassed, they despaired of life itself. Do you get my point? Paul said he was tired of living. But then, thanks be to God. The point I'm making is that this was a man who had problems. Don't make it look like one man said, the reason why Paul said, don't worry, is because he didn't live in Nigeria. Again, please, you're a pastor. You're not a politician. You're not in the opposing camp. Some people just make it a habit. I have a friend, all right? I like him because he's a very honest person. He's always abusing government. Every day. So one day I was just challenging guys. Why do you... He said, I think I just enjoy it. And I just... He was honest that every government knows they must get insults from me. So he was honest about that. It's not about right or wrong. Just that it's something I like doing. It's not the reason why I like that guy. Not because I like what he's doing. Because he was honest to himself. If you're a pastor, it's not your job. Let me just sit on that. To take that kind of role. You are not a government critic. Don't let the populace, they will say that this will happen. This particular man of God has not spoken. I said, why do you answer these people? Did they send you to ministry? That's one area where I wish I want to talk to the Pope. You don't have to make a statement on everything. America is bombing Iran. Iran is bombing American bases. You don't have to talk. You want to know the stance of the church. The stance of the church, you know, I used to tell people, I said, the church is in. I said, what is wrong with you? The one the church made it clear, did you obey them? There was a time that the church is part of the problem of the spread of HIV. They don't approve the use of condoms. I said, excuse me. The church is not talking to you. It's talking to its members. And if the members listen to them, they wouldn't need it. Yes, sir. I don't know if I get my point. If the Catholics listened to the Pope, if the rest of the church listen to the Catholic Church itself, you understand? There will be no spread of HIV. Why will you go online and be pressuring the church to approve contraception? You are not their member. Are you out of your mind? And if their members listened to them, there are problems we wouldn't have. You know, I keep saying politics aside again now. If you're a pastor, they are not talking to you. APC is not in my Bible. PDP is not in my Bible. NDC, ADC, they are not in the scriptures. I come up, I preach the Bible. When you go home, decide by yourself whether what I said applies to NDC, APC, ADC, or Labour Party, or which other parties we have, or all the parties we have. Or you want to vote for this Igbo smoking guy. It's okay. But what I'm preaching? No. Pastors, you shouldn't feel pressured. They have not said anything about the kidnapping.
Nobody has ever approved kidnapping. We have been praying. Do you get my point? I won't make a statement. And I will never, God forbid, may you punish me if I do, join any protest. Do I look like a member of Nigeria Labour Congress? My job is what I am doing. I am preaching the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because people don't know. That's where the power lies.
Yes, yes, yes.
Please, pastors, you know, especially those of you who have any purpose, thank God people like us are not, you know, I don't have that problem. But those who do, please take a word of advice. If you must speak on anything, just pray. Give the counsel of God and don't be pressured politically. Very important. Now, why did I say that? I don't know. Maybe the Spirit wanted me to say it. But let me go back to what I was trying to say. The person that's spoken about the most in the scriptures is God. It's not the devil. Listen to this. It's not what the devil is doing. That's where I was going. The Bible talks most about what God is doing. And listen to this. And how we are reacting to his instructions and his plans. How we are repenting of our sins. That's what these scriptures are about. You know why I'm saying this? Because many of us, in our zeal, the zeal for righteousness, the desire for good things around us, we forget and we fall into the trap of the enemy. So we talk more about the devil than we talk about God. We talk more about the work of Satan, and you understand, and than we talk about God. We put more blame on somebody else out there than we put on ourselves and our obedience to God and his plan. So let's make a long story short. We turn the Bible, the pattern of scriptures upside down. So when we write our own Bible, in the beginning, Satan had a plan for Nigeria. And Satan said that they are going to conquer this country. And Satan has stirred up terrorists here and bandits there. And Satan has stirred up corruption in government. And Satan has given us leaders, because God does not care about who our leader is. Then, by the time we finish, God looks around that. Hello? I actually made this place, not the devil. Check it. Now, sometimes people force videos around to bring urgency to matters. First, I never, ever forward any one of them. Even if I watch it, even if I believe it, it ends on my phone. How blessed on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good tidings, not who spread panic. Should I pray? If I believe you, I will pray. There's one particular one showed me last time. The man said a lot of things. He has not given me one prayer point. Because he trusts on things that I know, and he lied. I said, the other ones I don't know, maybe they are lies too. He touched on some things that I know about. And I said, oh God, these things you are saying, they're not true. So I now began to question the other ones I don't know about. Why should I take your word for it? Just because you're a white man? And you told me you visited Nigeria a number of times. Bro, I live here. I can't count the number of times I visited this country. I can't count it because I live there. You come, interview a few people, see some trouble spots, then you write a whole book. And I think they educate me. I don't think you mean evil. I just can't follow you. And when I look at some of the things I know about, and I like, excuse me, did you do your investigation before you made statements about this? But that's not my emphasis. My emphasis is that, okay, in all of these things now, what have you told me is the plan of God? And that's my charge, first of all, for Christians this morning. In everything. You know, okay. In fact, I read one news article, I think late last night or early hours of this morning, anyway, in the last few hours. And the person said something which I suspected about
these what do you call it, these terrorists and jihadists and stuff like that. He said that because of the pressure, oh yeah, he's a military man, all right? Because of the pressure that they are putting on them in certain places, all right, with a lot of U.S. support and all of that, they are having to disperse. So they are trying to come down towards the south so as to, you know, like the pressure is heavy where they used to establish, okay? And so they were just saying that, look, we are going to catch them. There's nothing they can do. You know, the person was just trying to explain what is going on, okay? Now, you see where I'm going? So he is not trying to tell us that this is the, that this is a problem. He just explained the situation and how they are going to respond to the matter. So don't think that as if we are losing the war, but because we put pressure here, the men have to move. So those of you who have been at peace, you are now noticing it, but don't worry, we are on top of things. But many of us don't want to interpret those things. You know what we do? We get up and describe the advances of the enemy. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. You've seen the scriptures here. When God was sending Israel into the promised land, one of the ways warfare happened then was propaganda and news and the expectation and, you know, hope and all of that. For example, you hear them say, we heard of what God did there and our hearts melted. You see, the prophet said the men became, sorry, women, no insult. You guys are not the ones that carry sword doses and go to war. So that's it. That they became like women. It was talking about war. That the men of war, they couldn't fight anymore. Why? They had news. And there's something I know about the scriptures, eh? About God now. No matter how much he wants to help you, you incapacitate him by fear, a fearful response to anything. Yeah. So when he wants to move, like, assuming God is going with you like this, the moment he stops, he just look at you. You are afraid. Before he can move, he has to cure your fear. So that's why they say there are 365 portions of the Bible that says, fear not. I've never counted. It was quoted for us. I think somebody said 366, that there's one for the leap years. But think about it. The people counted that fear not is in the scriptures 360-something times. And you know, even when God comes to manifest to you, once he perceives fear, the first thing the angel will tell you is what?
Yeah.
Now, people, some of us will think it's just a word of, what they call it?
Encouragement,
yes. Thank you. It's not a word of encouragement. It's a word of procedure. Do you get that? If you bring fear into this matter, I'm leaving. It's not a word of encouragement. It's a word of procedure. That is, I want to speak to you. Hey, calm down. I don't talk to fearful people. It's also a word of empowerment. It empowers you not to be afraid. Somebody says, fear not, you say amen. Or your heart receives it. Then boldness, because boldness is a spirit also. God can infuse boldness into you. So God does not want anybody to be afraid. Now, many of the people that are trying to encourage you, help you, all they do is spread fear. I told you, there's a guy I know, the same chat group. Yesterday it still happened. I saw a story. It started. It was forwarded. All right? As I began to read, I paused. Who forwarded this story? I saw it was the one, I deleted it. I deleted it. I'm being honest with you. As soon as I checked, who forwarded this story? Oh, this guy. I deleted it on the spot. Hey, I wish I could undelete it to show you. As soon as I saw he was the one, I deleted it. And the first few lines was why I checked. My experience in the kidnappers then. I just deleted it. When I just saw it, I said, only one guy does this. He has never forwarded anything. For example, now,
Now, maybe, okay, of course, you know, God has helped us, this nation has been helped by God. Since early this year, we've now become a net exporter of refined products. Yeah, we still import some, but then we export more than we import. Right now, most of Europe buys their fuel for plane from Lagos here. Yeah, because ever since this Iranian thing started, they had to shift to where it's easier to get things. So, this is our big refinery, supplies them most of the aviation fuel they consume. All right? Now, this is the point. He has never forwarded anything like that. Never. If you hear that the military went somewhere and they, like, you hear the one that happened in Enugu yesterday? Oh, okay. And it was a heavy raid, DSS, army, other DSS and police, or DSS and army. You know, found where, it's in the news anyway. So, you know, they displayed everything, jet machine guns, RPGs, and thousands of rounds of ammunition that they harvested from where they went and caught the people. My guy will never forward such news. But if he hears that 5 policemen were killed in pursuit of kidnappers, he's the first to inform you. We lost 5 policemen. These kidnappers are taking over this country. If there are gory pictures, a lot of them which are false, they come from maybe the war in what they call Sudan, and they'll tell us it's Nigeria. He's the first to share with you. Before I got to know him, when I first joined the group long ago, I told him that, why do you like spreading fear? You know, he said, are you afraid? I mean, you are a... Let me not say anything. You know, there's someone who said it. He said people don't know that when they speak, that their comment about situation, it's not about the situation, it's about the state of their own hearts. So it's gotten to the point that if he shares a video, it's not tagged, I click, I delete. I don't open it. Because the Bible says, blessed on the mountains at the feet of those that bear glad tidings. Now, well, I'm using that one to learn. After a while, you know what somebody bears. You see, after the war, that with Absalom's army and David's people, he said, who is running? He said, because they have what they call runners, who bear news. Who's the one running? He said, he's running, is like this and so and so person. Oh, he bears good news. Do you understand? He's like this person, oh, let him come. What does he have to say? He usually carries good news. You know, if it's bad news, the boy no go Greek go. So they know him. They knew him. That this guy, his feet are blessed. You get what I'm saying? He brings forth what? Glad tidings. He doesn't have time for, they have killed us, they have killed us. And people don't know. In spiritual things, all right? One of the ways Israel won their battles was to, they spread news ahead. People were, is it not those people that their God is like this? God scattered a lot of enemies from them just by talking about things that he had done. Now I was saying something. So if God wants to help you and you fill your heart with fear, he goes outside. Yeah. He just goes outside. Lord, I'm not helping your guy. He's busy. Busy doing what? Being fearful. It doesn't mingle with fearful people. In fact, if you go and read Revelation, is the fearful, he casts into the lake of fire. I like the fact that I use the word fearful for to this message. I pray, which kind of fear, sir? I think those who, because of fear, they disobeyed. Do you follow my point? So, when people think sometimes that they are helping, but what they are doing is instilling fear. They don't know that they are, what's the opposite of empower? Mama? Okay, I'll give my own. They are depowering the power of God in your life. If you don't give me the right one, I manufacture my own. Do you follow my point? Instead of empowering or staying off the power of God, they don't know that they are hindering God's power in your life. And they think it's fear. And they think it's help. One day, one man came. All the people that say they hate God, they came to redemption camp. I listened to the message, the recording, yes. Said God said to him, he was abroad, to come back to Nigeria and come and help the people of God. That what do they want? that what they lack is information, that my people lack information. Then he stood there and read for us for 30 minutes all the plans of the devil. I said, this is the information I need. This information I need. Sir, God did not speak to you. Quote me, I said it. He did not. Quote me, that Banky was bold enough to say, a man said God spoke to him and I said God did not. All kinds of things speak to people. Fear speaks to people. Greed speaks to people. All kinds of things speak to people. Your anxiety speaks. Now, when I say speaks, when the Bible says the word became flesh, there was something precious you were telling me the other day when we were sharing, when you came to our house. Beautiful testimony. Say, when I finished hearing these words, that is preaching, or describing some of our messages, that's as if somebody sits, that the word like coagulates into a living person, sits down and starts giving instructions. It's very scriptural. The word becomes flesh. Now, but what I want to bring out is that that thing is not just Jesus Christ becoming flesh. It's a spiritual principle. Spiritual things take on a like living form. If your heart is full of ambition, ungodly ambition, after a while, that ambition starts talking to you. So if you don't know, you will come. And because somebody told you that if you pray and you are silent, anything that comes out of your heart is the Spirit of God, you now come and say, God said. God never did. Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. There I explain that before you can hear God properly, you have to purge your heart. If you don't, you hear lies and you call them God. That is, you call whoever is talking to you God. And of course, when you use the word spirit, you know, you were talking yesterday, so you said something. The problem with this man is that he says, God spoke to me too much. And that's the issue. When somebody says, God said, the problem is that they shut you off from counseling them. These days, if you tell me God spoke to you, I say, man, leave that thing first. Let me talk to you. Then when I finish talking to you, go and decide. Because when I finish talking to people, they now realize that, Pastor, you're right, God didn't say anything. I say, of course I didn't say anything. Of course God didn't say anything. And I still think it's a terrible thing. I'm sorry, a lot of people will not agree with me. It's a very terrible doctrine that we emphasize in the body of Christ or people hearing from God. The Bible didn't emphasize the way we do. The Bible emphasized obedience to the written word. Obedience to the written word. There's no technique for hearing God. There's only a technique for obeying God. What is written? What is recorded? Then in the midst of that, the word of the Lord can come to you. You don't look for that word. That's a lot of people come and tell you that God said, God didn't say anything because something comes out of their so-called spirit. And because they said, there's a doctrine, very faulty doctrine, very faulty, very faulty. It's based on principles that are not tied from scripture. They say that you are living, you're born again. Amen. That's not a lie. And the seed of God is in you. Amen. So the seed of God is in your spirit. I said it the way they normally say it, all right? The spirit. And then your spirit has the spirit of God. So it can't have the spirit of death, the devil. The demon cannot stay there. The spirit of Satan cannot stay there because the spirit of God is there. It's not true. Very logical, humanly speaking. But scripturally, it's not correct. Paul said, you have an assignment to cleanse yourself of defilement of spirit. The fact that you're born again, your spirit can still be defiled. And we saw that with Simon the sorcerer. Peter said it clearly. That the man was in the gall of bitterness. He said, his heart is not right. You have no part of this matter. And this guy had been baptized. From the evidence of scripture, before then, the guy was born again. He said, no, if the Holy Spirit is there. I said, no, stop saying that thing. Because it is not true. Your spirit is your spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't there. It is yours, however. If you yield to an evil spirit, it will take his space. It will take his space. That final absolute doctrine that is not possible is the problem we have. So, and then again, that any thought that comes out your heart, your spirit, before, is how do I know it's my soul or my spirit? It doesn't make any difference. That question, we were asking it because we thought, if it comes from inside me and it's wrong, it can't be from my spirit. No, it can be from your spirit because your spirit can be defiled. A Christian spirit can be defiled. And I'm not imagining it. Paul said it clearly to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We should cleanse ourselves of all what? Defilement of spirit. And he was talking to Christians. So spirits get defiled. That's the point I'm making. And when spirit has been defiled, it starts speaking. It becomes a voice in your ears. It becomes a strong impression in your heart. That is why you have to, Bible says you should test all spirits. You have to test it. How do you test such things that you say come from your heart? Go to people who know the word of God, who have experience in working with God, and say, sir, last week, ma, I was thinking about this. Then when I was praying, I had this idea. You know, yesterday, where's Elder John? And I called you an Elder John. And I'll tell you some things. It had to do with, they teach the Bible class on Friday, so that's why I called them. Guys, what did I tell you? I said, this idea came to me while I was in Sokoto. And it has stayed. What do you guys think? It's not the word of, it's not scripture. So I can't impose it on anybody. So I said, and if indeed God spoke to me, it will prove over time that that's what he said. It will begin to prosper. We'll see grace poured upon it. He said, well, I will not give a testimony later. That's another problem. Maybe 5 years, and say, you know, Daddy, I was in Sokoto, and the Holy Spirit now said to me. Meanwhile, until I discussed with John and Dami, I wasn't sure of who did it. Who did the speaking? It was just a thought in my mind. And it's still a thought till now. Just yesterday, we were discussing it. He said, okay, let's watch it over time. You know, remember what John said? Okay, let's continue to think about it. And I said, fine. But if I do spirit prototype, I impose upon these two unfortunate men who happen to be teaching scriptures with me that God said, and then they are now confused, now go home. Say, this is what we're doing. The pastor said, God said you should do the opposite. Then I create confusion in the body. Do you know Jeremiah? God used to speak to him clearly. It wasn't this our type. Yet he said, God said you should go and buy land from his cousin. He said, he'll come and offer you land. I want you to buy it. And next day, that man came offer Jeremiah land. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, then I knew that God in this spoke to me. Did he speak to me? I knew that God spoke to me. In this tenses. What's the point I'm making? That the fact that something is in your heart does not mean it's God. It doesn't. Please, again, I recommend the book, Guided by the Spirit. Go to our website, download it for free. If you like paper copy, for those who are around here, you can purchase. Our books are low cost, you know. They are very low cost. But if you don't mind digital reading, it's free. Download it from our website. If you want to hear God clearly, please purge yourself, your heart. And I wrote about things you have to purge yourself, your heart off. When you go and read the book, your motives, your methods, everything has to be purified. Okay? Then God can lead you properly. There's no trick for tuning your spiritual ears. No. There's a trick for obeying that which is revealed. Trick in quotes. There's a procedure. When you do that, don't worry. God will carry you on. Even when you make mistakes, he will correct it. You will consciously make a wrong decision. It will produce such a good result, you think it's right. And some unfortunate people go and start quoting you. That is how it is done. Not knowing that when you did what you were doing, heaven was laughing at your procedure. It was very wrong. However, your heart was right. Do you get? Lutono said, Years later, he looked back at how he built his business. He said every financial decision he made was bad. Now that he's an established man, he now knows procedure. He said, oh boy, why was I not wrecked? He said every financial decision he made in the early days, they were wrong. They're the type that will kill the business. But guess what? He prospered. You know why? Because God was with him. Are you getting my point? So, what's most important, therefore, in this life is that you keep your heart pure. Back to what I was saying. If you have somebody spreading fear, I hear all kinds of things. God said we should move from here to here and all of that. And you know that what's speaking to this person is fear. I did a story here a few weeks ago. Okay, maybe it's not here, sorry. But something happened. A friend of mine came, traveled all the way from the United States, came to see, well, he came to do a number of things in Nigeria. So he called me and said, when I finish what I'm doing in Port Harcourt, I'll come over to Enugu, stay with you guys for some time, and then, or is it overnight, and then he will leave. You know the way it is, just see people and all of that. When he came, we'll drive around town, go and visit different persons. So he now called me, when he arrived, I think he called me from there, said, oh boy, there's an issue. I said, what? He said, his wife said, she dreamt. And she had this feeling that something, no, not a very, very bad thing, but something bad was going to happen. So what he should do was to please abandon the Enugu connection, move straight from Port Harcourt to Lagos, board his international flight, and head back to the United States. He called me, said, what do we do? I said, bro, let's call it what it is. You know what's speaking to your wife? He said, well, I said, fear. In fact, he was the one that first said it. He said, I think my wife is afraid. And he gave me details of why he thought so. He explained some things to me. He said, but what do I do under these circumstances? It was one thing I said to him that, struck with even me. I said, you see, we can't guide our lives by fear. He said, that is true. Do you know how he came from Port Harcourt to Enugu? This was some time though, but I told him, look, you're a Nigerian. It's from around here, not too far. So you don't even look, nobody knows who you are. So usually when he comes home, what does he do? He just dresses like anybody. He wears this print t-shirt and wears leather slippers. And we just roll around. Nobody knows you came from America. Nobody knows you are Dangote's chief operating officer. Nobody knows. No, he's not. I'm just joking about that. All right? I said, so he just entered, went to normal bus station. Entered the bus, going to Enugu, sat like everybody else. I met him at the park, picked him up. Came to my house. Who knows who you are? We drove around town. I said, just but to accommodate your wife. His flight was supposed to be in the afternoon when he's returning to Lagos. Let's leave with the next day's first flight, at least. Let's help her calm down a bit. I said, but you can't cancel the trip to Enugu because somebody's afraid. Exactly what he did. And nothing bad happened to him. And nothing bad has happened to him since that time. The point I'm making is that what spoke? That's why you have to, Solomon said something in Proverbs 4. He said, guard your heart. How? I like that expression. With all diligence. You know what they call diligence? Hard work. Concentration. Focus. Determination. Concerted effort. You wake up on time to guard your heart. We wake up during the night to check whether the heart is guarded. When it appears unguarded, you warn it, don't go outside again. Stay in the heart. Heart, you hear? Stay where I kept you. Okay, now, that's a joke, but let's get really practical. Guard it. How do you guard your heart? Check what it looks at. Check what it hears. Check what it thinks about. He said, because out of it flows what? The issues of life. Which means if this heart traps fear. Now, what people don't know, I was saying earlier, they think that God will do what he wants to do, whether you're afraid or not. That's not true. I said it earlier. If he wants to do something and you won't stop being afraid, he goes outside to go and wait. If he says walk on water, you better go and pray for boldness to walk on water. If halfway through, you decide to be afraid, even though he was the one that said walk on water, what happened to you? That's it. And many persons in this life, all right, they are underwater. They sank. And people are using them as an example of, don't obey God though. Because they say, no, you don't understand. The first 10 steps he took, he floated. Ask yourself, why did he go down? Not to obey God. Fear made him sink. Please, I'm saying this because you see, a lot of people these days, you know what they are doing? In their zeal, remember that man that came to give us information? You understand? Now, he increased the fear in the church. Because he spoke more about what the devil was planning and plotting and doing. You know, God also has a plan. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards, I know the plans. This is on Bible. Plans for good. Yes, he has plans. There's no, listen to me. I almost sat down just now. Honestly, I push my hand down to just sit on the ground to talk to you, but let me. But na serious matter. Because what's happening in this country right now, not just now, it's been happening for some time, is that people are lying. There was a man, he wrote a book, talked about some prophetic words that Pa Elton gave. And I was excited. I rushed for the book. I stressed myself to get the book. One of our brothers, good brother, he got it for me. I read the first chapter, I threw away the book. Because he lied against the scriptures. You know why? He said Nigeria was founded by demonic spirits and mummy water spirits, yes, who met at the bottom of the Atlantic. Yeah. I bought more than one copy. I think that brother bought it and sent them to me. And that Lord Lugard was a submarine of some sort. I don't know. Yeah, I'm telling you what this man told. He didn't use the word submarine, but that the people used to go to the bottom of the ocean. So it was a mummy water kingdom that decided to colonize Nigeria, amalgamate the northern and southern protectorates together with the Lagos zone, and then one of the witches inside there, called Flora Shaw, brought forth the name Nigeria, and it was prophesied. So basically, we have been running satanic agenda for the last so many, many years. You want to hear the truth? That's a lying prophecy. You know why? It goes against scripture. Scripture says he's a governor amongst the nations. I don't care. See, let me tell you something. I don't care the vision you are seeing. I've heard of all kinds of visions. You know, this is my wife, Kai. God must have anointed, put a grace on her to tolerate me. Because when we first married, you know, she was a normal person, normal Christian girl who believed a lot of lies. Not because she's a bad person, because that's what everybody's preaching around. Like one day, there's one lady she met. I knew the lady. We're already married for many years. That one sat down and told the story of her family. Her father is a pastor. How the family has suffered. Then one day she called my wife and said, ha, guess what? That the witch has finally confessed. That they found the witch that has been tormenting their family all these years. And she, you know, she was so keen about it, talked and talked. So when she finished, my wife came and told me. I said, call her. Let me tell her, shame on you and your father. Yes. I feel like calling her. Say, shame on you. Number one, you are lying. But let's even assume you are telling the truth as far as you are concerned. Shame on you, your father who's a preacher, and everybody associated with all of you. Was it 12 years? He said they had suffered or something. And you were bold enough to tell me there's a witch that afflicted a messenger of the gospel for 12 years. Even if it were true. You know what they call shame? Oh, but what's your name, Abel? You. Joshua, come. Let the whole world see how small you are. Come. All of you see Joshua here. Imagine I come to preach and my face is swollen. Two teeth are out. You know, Anthony Joshua, what did he do to that boy at that time? What's the name of that guy? Jake Paul. You know, he cracked his jaw in two places. So I want to preach. I can't preach because Joshua cracked my jaw in two places. Please go and sit down. Now, let me ask you. Do you think I can say it? Even if it really happened, even if you had the spirit possessed him, I'm not going to tell anybody. What happened to you? I fell from the height. But for me to tell you, it's Joshua that threw me. Lie. Pastor, what happened to you? Dangote truck. Things that the ears can process. Not that this little boy beat a man weighing almost 100 kilograms. And I walk out of, you guys don't know. I carry iron. I'm telling the truth. So that's how it is. When the Christians see that witch was pressing him, I'm like, are you not even ashamed? You know what the Bible says? When Moses was teaching us the songs, the song of repentance, the song of restoration, he said, you will say, how could one Moabite, you understand, or Assyrian or whoever, chase 1,000 of the Israelites and two of those enemies chase 10,000? He said, I'll tell you why. Except their rock gave them up. So if this boy beat me, I have to go for medical screening. I have to go for spiritual screening. I don't care how many spirits possessed him. If he can throw me down, I need to go to spiritual hospital and say, what happened? The people of Ai attacked Israel. No, Israel attacked Ai and they killed 36. Go and check your Bible. Not 1,000 men. If I'm mistaken, maybe one or two numbers off. 30-something. Yet, Joshua did not talk about military tactics. He fell before who? God. I said, Lord, what happened? What happened? They were so used to winning. They will go to battle. They come, number all the men of war. No one is missing. Now, 36, not only did they kill 36, they ran. They fell flat before the Lord and refused to get up. Until God said, come on, get up from there. It's not sin. It's not disobedience. It's not the things that I put under the ban that you guys took into your account. Lord, we? Eh? Some of you did. Who did? They found Achan. So when the man told me that this nation was founded by Bami water spirits who were meeting under the coral reefs. See, I'm not kidding. He printed it in a book. And I'm like, excuse me, how can you tell me the Bible is wrong? How can you tell me the prophets are wrong? How can you tell me that, you know, he has lost his power? Yesterday, I was listening to one of these Christian, you know, artists. You know, the one I was listening to yesterday. The guy sings a lot in Yoruba, but very, very inspired. So, you know, they will sing a line. You are the most high God. But the commentary was in Yoruba. I told my wife, oh, I wish you could understand this. How was he saying? He said, when I win, when I have victory, you are the most high God. When I lose and I'm on the ground, you are the most high God. They kept on turning it upside down. You understand? When everything looks good, there's hope, there's future. You are the most high God. When I'm dejected, I'm destroyed, and I've lost all my money. You are the most high God. I told my wife, God, I wish you could hear this. It was the way those guys were running the commentary. They described all kinds of situations, and they end it with, you are the most high God. That is, your position is not described by my experience. God draws boundaries He draws borders. He decides nations. See, when people talk sometimes about a country like Nigeria, I don't just preach only about Nigeria. It happens with every country. It's because they are angry. Let us assume now that in Africa, this nation, Nigeria, was the, let's say, is the Europe of Africa. Technological advancement, good infrastructure, and this funny thing they call democracy, which doesn't exist anywhere, but let's just assume it works. Do you know? They'll be talking like American preachers. They'll be talking about manifest destiny. Americans believe some things about their country. Do you understand? They'll be talking about it. Well, but, you know, it's easy for us to now make it look like God lives in America. Except that this is 200 years after America went through a situation worse than what we are going through now. Grind the story of the Wild Wild West. If you know how New York used to be so dirty. Before there were cars, they used to use horses. Horses used to shit on the road, and nobody cleaned it. This is New York. One man still renowned for bringing sanitation. You see pictures of him leading men to clean the streets of New York. So, it's so easy for us. Because when you have problems, people now start developing doctrines out of problems. You hear nonsense like, when did we all agree to live together? It's because we are fighting. So, you now say that it's because we made one country without a constitutional conference. And I laugh. And you say, look at the United States. I say, you don't know history. United States did not start with the Soviet National Conference. It started as a British colony. War started because of taxes. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah. Because the British decided to tax them. They said, we are not sending taxes abroad again. They came together to fight. There are a very diverse, all kinds of human beings live in that place. It was not intelligence that brought them together. It was necessity. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm making. All right? And the other day, I asked one of my friends. I said, what will happen if one of the states, like Texas, something led to it, to decide to go off? So we're not doing it again. He said, there will be war. I said, why? He showed me the rules for breaking off from the Federation. He said, no, they don't have time for it. Everything will turn to fight. Now, and many of us would, he lives there. When he gave me he showed me the articles and all of that. I now went online to check. He said, no, it's not easy. You can just wake up someone, they say, I know they do it again. He said, you go surprised. when he told me, I was shocked. The impression I had all the time was that 2 cities can just say, I'm not doing it again. He said, for where? I really was surprised. But that's not just the point. Then this man he said something, that's the other man. All right. He said something once I never thought about. He said, people say the problem of Nigeria is diversity. He said, no. He said, Somalia is mostly one tribe. They are 90-something% Muslims. They speak one language. Did you get that?
Yes.
90-something% Muslims. They speak one language. Most of them are from one tribe. Why did they keep on fighting? He said, no, the problem of diversity is not Nigeria's problem. Please, I'm not trying to talk about sociology and stuff like that now. What I want to talk about is Christian response to issues. Nobody should come and tell me about Satan's plans, Satan's work, and forget that there is a God in heaven. Are you getting my point? They forget that there is a God in heaven. And you are looking, how can, now listen to this. You start invoking evil powers when as a church you all agree with a lie that we're found in the bottom of the bottom of the Atlantic. That's what he said. Submarine spirits. Whatever it means. No, there are marine spirits. I just thought that should be a submarine spirit. is it the benthic zone? How many of you remember your oceanography? There's a benthic zone now. They were missing the benthic zone. Nonsense. God spoke a word and the nation was founded. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's the word of the Lord that founded this nation. Again, I need to explain to Christians. Things are not... Oh, please, another doctrine I need to explain to us. Things are not working well. Does not mean it was not started by God. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You know, I just came back from... You know, I was not around for a whole week. So I just came back. I was talking to one senior man of God, you know. We're in the car. We're being driven to church. So there's this handsome young man that was driving us. So this senior man of God said, "Are you married?" The young man said, "No." Ah! The man said, "Why not?" So he was squeezing him. He now said to him, at the point, he said, "Do you need help? Because I help with things like that." So, you see where I'm going. No, he said, there's not a problem with that. If he's willing, he'll just look around. He'll find a young woman who's also not married. He'll just tell her, "So, you go and marry this guy." And I believe in it 100%. Yeah, I believe in that. He just said to the guy, okay. In fact, immediately I told the guy, "Say, you define wife. I have somebody you will marry." And the guy followed me up seriously. Yeah, on the spot. He followed me up. "Sir, please, what is she doing?" I told him, he said, okay. At the point in time, I now handed it over to somebody else, okay. Finish this work for him. Now, why am I talking about that man, the senior man of God? He said, "I've been wedding people for 37 years. He said, "I started contracting marriages 37 years ago. He said, "You know what I found out? Those who heard God, who fell in love, they have problems. Those who didn't hear God, who did not fall in love, they have problems." He said, how you began, he had discovered that he has nothing to do with this. Those who found their wives, they have problems. Those who their husband chased them well, they say, I love you, Cinderella, they have problems. Those who they arranged for, they have problems. He said, so what he was saying, that problems are universal, forget that thing. He said, it's how you build it that matters. So, yeah. Many of us, people have come to me there, I think I married the wrong woman. Why? Because you're having problems. God chose by himself. He called Samuel. This is the king I have chosen. He was a useless man. Saul. You've heard it before said that. I heard a minister say, he said, God doesn't choose presidents for African countries, that they are not covenant people. He now made a statement. I just said, God, why do we behave like this? He said, if we are trying to claim that it's God that has been choosing our presidents, then he has done a bad job. Yeah, he said so. I know what he meant. He was not trying to say God did a bad job. He was just trying to say it's not God. I felt like calling him and saying, "Sir, you're a Bible teacher. Do you read the scriptures? Israel as a nation, their first king was bad from the beginning. And it was clearly, you know, chosen by God." They said, "No, it's people that chose him." Where? Who? People would not have gone to Benjamin to pick. It was the smallest of the tribes. They would not have gone to. But most importantly, they cast lots. And they picked the person that God had personally told. And they say, it's because they reject. But you said they are covenant people. God picked David as a king. Was he a good king? As a king. Was he a good king?
Yes.
Unequivocal. Good king. Who picks, of all his sons, who picked Solomon? God picked Solomon. Was he a good king initially?
Yes.
Was he a good king later?
No.
Towards the end of his days, he was a very bad king. It was so bad when he died. The elders, the princes went to his son, Rehoboam. Say, please, don't do us like your father did. In his days, idolatry had become established in Israel. My man said, it's God, they are covenant people. After Jeroboam, who picked Jeroboam? You know Jeroboam? Remember the name of the prophet? What's his name? Ahijah. Jeroboam was going on his own. The prophet stopped him and gave him 10 kingdoms. What was the first major thing he did in Israel? Two idols in the two extremes of the country so that they will have no cause to go to Jerusalem to worship. Later, we're going to read the story of Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah sent messages everywhere, even to the remnants of the northern tribes, to come to worship. Worship was not meant to be divided. Jeroboam divided it. Who picked him? I could go on and on. So, God started something, is no guarantee of success. He doesn't guarantee success. It's good he started it. It's good. But if you want it to succeed, there are things to do. There are procedures to follow. There are instructions to obey. So if something fails, it's not a sign that it was not started by God. You see, a lot of people who are preaching good doctrines in this country, it's frustration. A man starts calling his wife Jezebel. It's not his fault. She has been Jezebeling in his house. And you ask the woman, he said, this man is Baal-Zebub. It's experience. But do you know, if things are turned differently, we have been giving testimony. Praise God. When God wanted to bless me, this is my blessing embodied in flesh. Hallelujah. But say, look at them now. If things don't work out well, they say I was not there. If it works out well, they say I was there. He said, bank, you don't mind them. I was there in every single one. Now then scatter it. Say, this man, really, his behavior is Baal-Zebulic. Is it Baal-Zebulic or Baal-Zebubic? Now let him repair his behavior. They will find that God is in the house. But they now, and a lot of doctrines that people manufacture. That's why, you know, I was saying something to them in Sokoto. I think I said it here before. Some of people who preach, let me warn you pastors, be careful who you follow. Some people who are preaching once, they've always saved. You know the problem they have? They can't overcome personal sins. A lot of them is hidden faults that they can't get rid of that's controlling that doctrine. This manufacturing of doctrine because of experience is a major problem we have right now in the body of Christ. You know, you and I have discussed before. If you preach against that, if you say to some people that tithing is not compulsory, they will almost hang you. Do you know why? The whole branching system of the church is built on that. You think you are addressing doctrine. You don't know you are addressing ministry structure. One of our young men, he said, he came to see me, to talk to me. He read my books, he heard me teach and all of that. So he had a discussion with a pastor somewhere, not in Enugu here, on money matters. So he brought up the doctrines that I teach, which many of you here know, about money things. And okay, for those who don't know, is a summary. First, the New Testament tither is what? Is a cheerful, generous, continuous, habitual giver. That's what the Bible calls tithing in the New Testament. I don't want to go over that now. It's not a New Testament person doesn't calculate. She has a liberal heart, constant. That's one. Another doctrine I preach is that you don't give so as to collect from God. If I say something, you know that senior minister I told you that was telling you, young man, do you want me to help you? There was something I said there that excited him. He said, like that thing that Banky preached. When I was preaching, I said, if God says, maybe I did some good work, okay, assuming now that I sowed into your life, let's say, 100,000. God now comes, say, thank you. For that seed you give to Dami, I want to give you 1,000,000 back. I said, no, God, I know they do that kind of arrangement. I beg. The man laughed. I said, I'll tell God, you have money. Why are you paying me from my good work? That's an eternal work. This is not, well, on this earth, bring your own money. Add this one to my eternal reward. I don't want you pay me back here on the earth. You don't know, Jesus said, very, very, I said to you, you have your reward already. Once you have your reward, it's already. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
it's already. I said, so I'll tell God, no, I'm not grill. I'm not grill. The man laughed when he came to preach. He said, he liked that. That I said, no, God, don't reward me for anything on this earth. When we get to eternity, what thing will remain? I give 10 naira, you give me 100 naira back. That means you're not owing me again. When I get to heaven, emptiness. Account, nothing, no shishi. I said, I beg. I said, Baba God, on this earth, we shall spend your money. On this earth, what are we spending? His money. So anything I want, I ask in the name of Jesus. As for my good works, be writing it in the book that you read at the Bima, the judgment seat of Christ. Don't read it on this earth. I don't want wahala. As a person go broke for eternity. The man laughed. When he came to preach later, he said that thing. He likes you so much. He took the adopter. He said, God, I beg, I beg, I beg. Henceforth, if I need anything, you dip into your own account. Leave my account intact. What are we your children for? The Lord is good. So that's for those who don't know what I preach about money. All right? That's what I preach. So I say, if you want to give, please give from a generous heart. Give because you care. Give because you care about the gospel. Give because you have been blessed. Give because you know that this gospel of the kingdom, we are the ones that will preach it. And this is my participation. Not because you want to collect. That is the summary of what I preach about money, for those who don't know. For these simple things I have told you, I have been fought. You know, some people look at, what have you said now that is, what is so strange? Okay? You have not said anything that I did not know before. Yet, for this thing that you knew before, I've had enemies. One day, one brother even came and told me about one prophet somewhere who said that what Pastor Banky is doing is not good, that doesn't want gospel to prosper. So the brother came to me and said, I said, go and tell the prophet. Let me be honest, Akele was not a prophet. Was a prophetess. I said, go and tell the prophetess that this job has been shared. That she a teacher. The answer is no. I said, may they prophesy. May they teach. I didn't argue. That's what I said. This is the person I was telling you about. He said, I told him. So he was talking with this man. You know what the man said? He said, it's because Pastor Banky is a doctor. That's why he's talking like that. He doesn't need money. I said, good. I said, she has now told you. The reason why he's talking the way he's talking is because he's not a doctor and he needs money. I said, so what are we talking about? That's what I'm saying. Somebody opened his mouth. And what the man did not know was that he just spoke the truth. That his doctrine is decided by need. He did not believe. And a friend of mine when we were in university challenged me on it. He said, what am I trying to say? That how many Christians will, of their own can God lead to go and give money? I said, so that's why you have to force them with a law that God did not give them. After all, if you use a law that God did not give to get out of them, they will not be blessed. You will not be blessed. Yeah. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. It's a law. It's the rule of God. If you're a pastor, if you are using lies to get out of people, you are bringing corruption into your work. I don't want to sit on that now. I have told you the kind of corruption that you will see. I can drop one for you. If you have that kind of thing as a doctrine, your church will be filled with sexually immoral people, including your own household. It's a spirit. They ride in gangs. They pull on each other. If you let covetousness, all right, and money direct the things you say, you can't cast them out. Oh, I hope you understand. Spirits are not cast out just in the name of Jesus. No, they are cast out with obedience. You obey the word of God, there are areas they cannot thrive in. It's important to understand that Jesus said the prince of this world is coming and he has what? Nothing in me. They need something to stay. They need something to stay. So many times people are preaching things that are not true because their hearts have been offended. They're angry with the situation of Nigeria. So they create doctrines. They manufacture things that God did not say simply because they are angry. I don't have time to go into details. I've spent a lot of time already. Let me give it to you prophetically about this country. God created it for a purpose. He tied the north, the south, Lagos, all of them together for a reason. And let me tell you something. When you want to fight against divine purpose, you get judged. If he loves you, like Abimelech, he'll come to your house and say, brother, this nonsense what they do on social media. Stop it. That's what he does. And listen, he has done it to me before. All right? Just in a dream, just have a vision, like what do I call it, vision of the night. Clear dream shows you what you are doing. The one I'm thinking of, I've had a number of them, but this one that was pretty, was a correction. It was dramatic. I just say, stop it before you get yourself injured. Woke up next day, corrected myself. But if you are the type that God will correct, we say, get behind me, Satan. He will try to lead you aright, but your stubbornness of heart will not let you hear what he's saying. He writes a terminal date on the spot for when he's removing you. Yeah, he does. What's the name of that man that came to Jeremiah will speak? The man said, 2 years. Is it Ananiah? And that was his name. Jeremiah said, for everybody to go to Babylon, 70 years, you're going to stay there. He wore a yoke. The man came, broke the yoke. Said, thus says the Lord, in 2 years, the yoke of the king of Babylon shall be broken. Jeremiah said, so be it. If that's what God says, that's what I want. You think I want to go to Babylon? I love my homeland too. Jeremiah left, and the Lord said, go and tell him. And he went back. He said, oh boy. God said, because you have incited rebellion against him, this year you will die. That year, prophet died. God said, no, your problem is rebellion. I'm telling people, that's what I told you that day. You know that scripture I was telling you?
Yes.
When he said that, when it's bad enough, you are not praying. When I tell other people not to pray, you are committing sin. I said, no, Reverend Dami, that's not the way it works. For not praying is when you committed the sin. When you not tell other people not to pray, you are now inciting rebellion against God. It's worse. It was worse than he was painting it. I said, okay, tell them the truth. They are sinning grievously against God. If God has a purpose, listen, that's why if David offended you in Israel, and you know David offended people, but guess what? You were not allowed to conspire against him. You know why? He was the Lord's anointed, still on the throne. God had not terminated his time. So if he offends you, go home and go and cry to God. Say, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Two sides to it. I will repay whoever sinned, but don't worry, whatever they denied you of, I will repay you. That's also part of it. Don't go against David, though. Don't conspire against him. All those who joined the conspiracy against David, you saw what happened to them. Ahithophel knew what would happen. He just did it by himself. Absalom, who led it, despite David's plea, the spirit of vengeance came upon Joab and he killed Absalom. Don't let your emotions, your anger, dictate how you react to things. I hope you're getting my point. Please, I began this and trying to emphasize something. I see it going around again and again. Angry people prophesying. Angry people cannot prophesy rightly. offended people, giving prophetic direction. I still remember one brother in Nigeria, good man, I don't know him personally, but just for his prophecies. He told us, God gave him a word of prophecy. All of us took, we paid attention, and fear came upon us. After some time, he gave another word of prophecy. You can ask this man here. I told him that God did not speak to him. You know, when I say some things, like, ah, Pastor, you are bold. Are you not the one that said we shouldn't go against the laws? I said, guys, relax. This one, God did not speak to him. Were you in his church? No. Were you in his prayer place? No. But this is not the... I said, listen, he used certain keywords which showed me that this prophecy came out of offense. Yeah. There were keywords he used that the Lord doesn't use. It's like you say, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the almighty devil is coming, all of you should run. I don't care even if he showed his ID card. That's nonsense prophecy. You call devil almighty and that we should run. Two things the Lord does not say. Just a small joke. One day, one man, they say he prophesied long ago. No, not a prophecy. Technological prediction. What will happen these days? So they dressed him up like a man of those days. Now, one of the things he would do, that these days will be so used to mobile for this guy, that would just be scrolling. There's a word of prediction. I told them it's a lie. He said, how do you know? I said, do you notice his hand? Scrolling. I said, he's used to scrolling. Did you catch it?
Yes, sir.
I said, he's scrolling. If it's a prophet, it's a different thing. A spirit can come upon you to make you scroll. If it's a real prophet. But this was technological prediction. I said, no. This scrolling is from experience. My friend who said, okay, you got it. You caught him. I said, of course, it's from experience. In fact, there was another video somebody did. That was my first time I was seeing AI preachers using the voice of a prominent preacher. So they use Kenneth Higgins' voice to do a message. I listened to it. I said, no. This is not. I wasn't used to these AI things that time. I said, but something's wrong with this message. My wife will remember. I said, something's wrong with this message. She said, what? I said, notice some keywords he's using. Likes, followers. So did not exist in the time of Kenneth Higgins. By the time Kenneth Higgins went home to be with the Lord, we didn't have social media the way we have it now. I said, so for you to see, he said, they're just preaching messages to get followers and likes. I said, Kenneth Higgins never experienced likes. It did not exist in his days. So I sent to the head of Rima, Nigeria. I said, man of God, please. Before my message landed his phone, he had replied. He didn't even listen to it. He said, it's not the one. Because I think people had bombarded him with it. That was the first time I was hearing it. He said, he's not the one. It's AI generated. My first time, because it sounded so real. And the doctrine was so correct. However, he used certain keywords. I said, these words did not exist in his generation. And that was the clincher. Back to what I was saying. So this man of God uses certain keywords. And I said, no. This prophecy is from anger, offense, and personal desire about certain things. You can ask the men here. I told them, I said, no, that's not prophecy. I said, God didn't speak to him. Guess what? A few months later, he came back and apologized. But I thought God spoke to me. Now I realize he did not. I said, guys, maybe I told you. See, there's no, how do you say, there's no rocket science. I said, you are saying the kind of things that God does not say. It's like I called you and I speak perfect Fufudi. You know what Fufudi? Fulani language. I speak to you to give instruction. And you tell your wife, that was Pastor Banky on the phone. She's going to tell you that. When did he start speaking Fulani? Do you follow my point? It's not rocket science. Just does he speak Fulani? You have to first explain to her. The man that's speaking Fulani to you on the phone. It's the same way. There are things people will say. I said, this is not God. This is not his language. Like one woman, have you heard this before? A woman was prophesying, you know, thus says the Lord. Say, my children, don't be afeard. He said, but if you are feared, I don't blame you. I get scared sometimes myself too. Good. So now you two are bold enough to say it's not God. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a prophecy. They were in church. You know the way it is. Who has a word from the Lord? My children, don't be afeard. If you are feared, I don't blame you. I get scared sometimes myself too. Of what? Oh, of what? But it really happened. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. It really happened in a church congregation. Not in Nigeria, nowhere, not that bad, I mean. Brethren, it really happened though. In fact, the person they're using to teach was trying to explain how to judge prophecy. He said, look at that kind of thing. What do you think? God said, don't blame you. Me too, I get scared sometimes. What am I trying to say? Please. This is the message I have in that regard this morning. Brethren, don't let anybody scare you. Please, no matter where you're listening to us from, please, this is for Nigerian Christians. Don't let anybody scare you. We can't give in to fear. Even if they kidnap on Ogui Road, we will refuse to say we have been invaded. We are the enemy. We are not the attacked. Yes. We are the one pushing against the kingdom. That's why the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Gates are not carried into battle. They are used to hold the enemy out. We are the one Satan is afraid of. Did you catch me? We are the ones that the devil is afraid of. Let me tell you the main reason why we lose battles. He said the sons of Ephraim being armed. Bollinger said Ephraim stood for the whole of Israel. Yet they turned back in the day of battle and thereby they broke the covenant of God. That's why we lose battles. Even though we are armed, we run. Even though we are the ones that have the Holy Spirit, we are afraid. Christians actually say things like, divide this country. And you keep asking, where? Where is your line of division? You know, when people have never traveled, and somebody lied to them. You know, there was a time, one of my colleagues, poor guy, he's late now. He fell ill and he passed on some years ago. He was from Anambra State here. So we're talking in the office. He was laughing. Because you know, that time when MNK issue came up and a lot of people were, he said, "Oga, you know what's worrying all of them?" I said, "What?" He said, "They just think now that if this thing is actualized, they suddenly become consultants, physicians, heads of departments, and chief medical directors." I said, "They don't realize you have to go to school together." He said, "They don't think about it." So you are the one thinking about it. That some people think the reason why they are down is because of Nigeria. So if you can carve out this region into an independent country, suddenly they become DGs of corporations, they become DGs in the ministries, they will become big people. I told you the man is from Anambra, for you to know that for him it was not an ethnic issue. He said, "Sir," they said, "they divide this country." He said, "They've not traveled now." He used to live in Kebbi or so. He lived in Bauchi. He said, "They have not traveled." He said, "When people have not traveled, this is the kind of things you hear from them." He said many things. Let me just leave that one. People, you know, let me say something earlier. Anybody trying to point to you who your problem is your enemy. That person is your enemy. I've not preached this in a long time. You know, I have this pet project about false prophets. I've not done it in a while. Let me quickly prophesy that prophecy and then I will go on my message. He's a false prophet, and if he's a prophetess, false prophetess, who identifies who's creating problems for you, whether in your household, in your lineage, even as your ancestors. Once they identify them, just know that person is false. Now, let me explain. God told Israel, if a man does a sign for you, and the sign comes to pass, if he predicts something and it happens, then he tells you to follow another God. So whether his signs come to pass or not, he's a false prophet. It's not signs alone. What is he preaching? Did you catch what I'm saying?
Yes,
Moses told them clearly. That's God told Moses. This is how you catch false prophets. It's not just about the signs. It is about what he's preaching. So a man comes to you There's one popular one. Even that guy is a fake human being. In your family, you have two aunties. Well, many of us have two aunties. It's not a strange thing. One of the aunties. Now, even if everything he says is correct, then listen to me. He now comes around and says to you, why you have not made progress is because she's offering sacrifice on certain altars, seven altars in different parts of a village against you. Now, I'm telling you today, he's a false prophet. What did I call him? He's a false prophet. He's a liar. He's using familiar spirits. They reveal things to him about you, but he doesn't. Now, no matter how powerful you are as a prophet, to see the mind of God is hard. So he can't look into Christ. I hope you're getting my point. He can't see the things of Christ. It's why he's talking that nonsense in your hearing. And if you listen to him, another thing people should realize, you can activate negative prophecies on your side, though. You didn't get my point? Okay, let me explain. If the man says, don't go to Onitsha again, all right? And then for that reason, you stop going to Onitsha. The day you go to Onitsha, you have an accident. If you survive it, it's the mercy of God. Yet, it was a false prophecy. However, if he says, don't go to Onitsha again, and you tell the prophet, I have heard, but they are owing me money in Onitsha. When I come back, we'll continue this conversation. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing. Nothing will happen. But because you listened to him and stopped going, you've activated that word in your life. The day you hit that road, the evil spirits using him, their companions are waiting. They are going to puncture your tire. Your car is going to somersault. And you're going to get, well, you may be injured, or not, or you may die. For just one reason, the last 2 years, you did not go to Onitsha because you believed a lie. Please, be careful when you are listening to false prophets. I know what I'm telling you. When they say your neighbor is a witch, tell the prophet, thank you. Next morning, go and invite the neighbor to church. And if they say, we like a drink, say, which one do you have? Coke. No, I don't want Coke this morning. Say malt. No. Tea. The one that he can make and poison. Collect that one and drink it. You know, if malt comes in a can, it's kind of hard to poison it before giving it to you. But I'm telling you now. Telling them, I want tea. Yeah, put two bags. Let the caffeine be heavy. Brew it well. You get sugar. Put there and be stirring it. Say, when will you be ready? Should I wait for you to go to church? Then tell the false prophet, that my neighbor that says he's a witch. Ah, he's now born again. I took him to church yesterday. That's how your life will be saved. But if you want problems for your children, let me tell you what you will do. You will stop going to that man's house. He will greet you, will not answer. That's what you will do. You will show to God you believe a lie. And the angels of God will back off and say, okay, solve your own problems. But if he has said, no weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Christ, I'm above principalities and power. So whether my neighbor is a witch or not, doesn't matter. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Christmas, they invite him to your house. Let him eat with you. That's when you discover that prophet is a liar. Many years ago, a man called my wife. What I'm telling you now is now, it should be over 10 years now. He said, I see death around your husband. Yes. Ah. You think I don't go through what other people go through too? He said, I see death around your husband. My wife didn't want to tell me, knowing the kind of human being this black guy is. But he said, after a while, she said, well, a man can't talk to me and I won't tell my husband. That is how you've started problems. Conversing with... So, my husband, let me just tell you what he said. I said, okay. And that's all. I've heard you. Now, you say, Pastor Mike, did you pray about it? Do you think I want to die? Of course I did not pray about it. That's how to die. Did you have a conversation about it? No. I was just wondering whether he said was correct. In my heart, I said, what is wrong with this guy? If you want to collect money from this woman, ask directly. Okay, you see debt around your husband. What were you doing peeping into? Yeah, that was the question I was asking. What's wrong with this guy? Did I think about anything? Well, yes, I thought. Whose wife have I collected or am I pursuing currently? There was none. Whose money am I stealing? None. Those are the, in fact, then hey, I checked my doctrine. Because all things that God kills for. Am I inspiring rebellion? Inciting rebellion against the Lord? No. Okay, Lord, please, have I been inspired rebellion against? Just correct me now. I know you will correct me now, even before I reach this level. No. Okay, this wife, she's my wife, right? The Lord said, are you in doubt? I said, okay, I'm just trying to be sure that I'm not collecting somebody's wife. That's the only thing. Pray about it. No, God forbid. No, I did not. I didn't. If I was angry that somebody would be saying this kind of thing. But maybe you'll be surprised that my wife didn't get back to him. And what shall we do? I'm telling you, it's at least 10 years ago. Maybe around that. Yes, I think over 10 years. God forbid, before I go out, I'll not be checking my tire. Now, I told you, one joke, you may have seen it was circulating at the time. They showed a car parked and white powder around it. So the commentary under it, the man came out one morning. He saw his car circled with white powder. You know, white powder, Babalawo style. So he saw the car. He couldn't cross the white powder to enter his own car. So he went and took taxi to work. He entered the bus, entered keke. Second day, he left the car there. I'm sure by Sunday, he was planning to talk to the pastor. The third day, he came and saw his son playing inside the circle around the car. So he rushed the boy. Come out from there. When you see things like this, you be careful. The boy says, old yam flower. Mommy said I should throw it away. So I was... Two days, he beat the boy. And I said, you don't need to beat the boy. You are the one that has a problem. The young, you know, you were children. They had this old flower in the house. I think it was yam flower or wheat flour, whatever. The mother said, oh, it's old. He has weevil. Please go and throw it away. Instead of the boy throwing it away, the boy started to be walking around the car, walking around the father's car, and the thing was peeling around the car. That's how the powder reached there. But the fearful man avoided driving his own vehicle for two straight days. I would not have driven it for 1 week, except that he saw the babalawo inside the circle. Because the little boy was the babalawo. That's what some of us do. We activate evil. Yeah, we do out of fear. Fear speaks to us, and fear activates things for us. One of our brothers said when they were doing NYC, they went to do drama. You know drama? Normal drama. Some people now said that, wait too. You know those prayer warriors? Can I go there for a moment? Most of those prayer warriors, I'm not saying all. In case you are one of them, all right? Maybe you are one of the good ones or one of the confused ones. I don't know. Most of those prayer warriors, they don't know anything. And they are so-called praying to exercise their flesh. You know that? You know what we were saying yesterday? Yes, that when people have, they've shaken. Like for 2 hours. There's a sense of accomplishment. We are for the devil. When your muscle is paining you, me, I get it from carrying weight. You get it from... That's what they do. Most of those prayer warriors don't know what they are doing. A friend of mine in this city, one day he called me, said, Pastor. I said, what? He said, see, just coming from a meeting. Then what kind of thing is going on here? He's a member of the prayer warriors in their church. One of their members, his wife died. So they helped the man with the funeral. So, and he was a well-to-do man. He's a well-to-do man. I know the person. So now said, please, my team members come to my house for after the whole ceremonies for refreshment, just to say thank you. They refused to go. And he heard why. He said the witch that killed his wife is probably sitting in the house, looking for her to give food. Yes. If I mention the name of the church, you'll be shocked. I will mention for some of you. Those of you online, I'm so sorry. You can't hear this. Sorry. Okay. The protest. The protest has started. I can hear the protest. If you know the protest, I've been challenged. When I go to place, people say, Pastor, good afternoon. Wanted to see you. We've talked to Nihu Rubadu, you know, to come and investigate the matter of you switching off mic when you want to talk. So I won't say it now. Please, after service, you guys who are here, you can ask me. I heard the protest. I'm telling you, do you know? Okay, let me put it like this. One of the biggest Pentecostal churches in this city, and these are the prayer warriors. So, if they are the drama team, she will know that drama people, yes. My wife was in drama on campus, you know. She was not one of the spiritual people, not drama person. I was also in drama anyway. We started the drama in my fellowship. But you get what I'm trying to say. Maybe if you're one of the security outside, maybe. But these are the supposed the power. These are the powerhouse of that church. The power. And you know these people? These are the type, I know the church, that will do 60 days fasting. 60 days fasting and more. My friend was a member. He called me. He said, Panky. He said, he calls me Pastor. He said, Pastor, what is going on here? No, I said, I was talking about false prophets. False prophets do what? They point fingers, but not at you. True prophets, when they want to point fingers, not you. No, they'll just tell you. You disobedient soul. You that's not paying attention to your spiritual growth. They will let you know. They'll tell you what God is saying about your life. Let me not abuse, you know, God bless you. If you are listening to us from South Africa, the Lord will bless you. But let me tell you something that happened to your country recently. And so you can spread the word around. You know, South Africa played against Mexico two days ago, right?
Yes, sir.
It was the anger. If you see the way everybody was with, all the Nigerians were. Or Mexican, they were Mexican supporters. Not only Nigerians, Africans. The whole of Africa, they showed one Nigerian guy, he spoke perfect Spanish in America. He wore Mexican jersey. That Mexico will win this one. And one prominent Nigerian I heard, let me not mention his name because I didn't hear him directly, just wrote it. They put his name, people can lie. But so, he said, no, we are supporting South Africa. We are supporting them. They need to go back home and protect their jobs. He said, that's the support we are giving them. Let them lose quickly and go back home. Yeah, that's what he meant. He said, let them lose quickly, go back home and go and protect their jobs. Now, what am I talking about? Please, South Africans, don't be angry. But there's a principle I want you to understand. Under apartheid, the white man was the problem. You know me, I've never believed they were the problem. Let me tell you, if you know the way black people behave, I will do worse than apartheid. I'm sorry to say it. Well, I won't kill anybody, but you're not coming near my fence. Yeah. Sometimes when I talk, I tell people, I'm happy, you know, they are black people, right? Like, this one too calls himself black. As in face be like this, he says he's a black man. They will be calling black people, you'll be calling yourself black. When they say black people, they know who they are talking to. It's people like me and Victory. They are the ones. Where I'm going is that, so when they say black, not only am I a black man, apart from honorary black people like this, but real one, I'm the real black person. So when I say black people, you people behave, we behave like monkeys. You know, you can't feel, if Donald Trump says it now, you'll be shouting. But me, I'm one of you, and I'm saying we behave like monkeys. What can you do to me? Nothing. Because I'm Uncle Monk. You get my point? We're in the monkey group. So nobody, we can call ourselves names. We can. But if a white man says what I've said, I will hang him. I will lynch him. But where I'm going is that I have never believed that the problem the white man has, the black man has, is the white man. I've never believed for one moment. In fact, I believe that a large part of continental Africa survived because of them. If you hear the story of some of these tribes bordering Lagos, towards the western side, do you understand? My brother, you'll be shocked. The kind of barbaric behavior they had at war. Do you know? United States and, not forget United States, in Israel, God gave them commandments concerning how to execute war. Yeah. You're not allowed to destroy the place that you've gone to conquer. But if you hear the kind of things we used to do to ourselves in this African continent, let me tell you, the white man stepped in to stop that nonsense. Do I need to tell you that Calabar didn't have twins? Not because the women were not fertile and giving birth to twins, but because he killed all of them. Pastor Kimte was telling me the other day, he still met a woman currently. Who is it, she or her children? Her aunt. Her aunties. Somewhere in Anambra here. That they say carry, is it twins?
Yes.
Yeah, the woman had not kept on having twins. They would take the children and abandon them in the evil forest. Yes, and the children will cry till they die. And I'm not telling you a story of 200 years ago. Last few decades. That's over the last maybe 20 years. Still happening. Okay, and she was unfortunate to have twins 6 times in a row. They kept on taking the children from her, and that she would sneak into the bush to breastfeed children and remove ants from their bodies. In case you don't know, that's why what God sent them to come and stop. Mary Celestor stood in Calabar and said no. And the gods couldn't do anything to her. What nonsense gods. I come to Mount Zion, the gods are dead. There's one movie, go and check it. The gods are dead. Was a king in one place. The chief priest came and said, the gods. The king said, "What? Which gods?" The gods are dead. That was what they came to stop. See, they talk about slave trade. Eh? But now let me tell you, white man never caught one slave by himself in Africa. He didn't have time for that. He stood on the shores. Sometimes we kidnap our own cousins and tell our grandfather that they died in the bush. We sold them to the white man because we were broke. Villages raided other villages, took their young men and women, put them in camps until the slave ships arrived. Haba, why do you blame the white man? Like somebody said, white man was not looking for black man to hold as slaves. He was looking for any available slave. They were white slaves. Many of us don't know. Because their descendants are also white. So they don't have a heritage. They were white slaves. Slaves captured from raids and held as, do you understand? By fellow white people. You think all white people are the same? No, they're not. Just like all black people are not the same. I'm saying all of this for us to understand. Stop blaming, looking for who to blame. Stop looking for who to blame. South Africa, our brethren, they blame the white man for their problems. Yet, like somebody said, under apartheid, they were the only ones developed enough to host Senior World Cup. The first time Senior World Cup came to Africa, where did it go to? Those of us who did not have apartheid, did we build any serious stadium? No, why don't we just tell ourselves the truth? When FIFA decided, okay, let's face Africa, only one place they could go to. The place that the stadia were built under apartheid. The country was developed. I'm a pathologist. So I'm part of what they call the International Academy of Pathology. the day when they were going to hold the first African, the first international congress in Africa. Where did you go? South Africa. Built under apartheid. Am I saying apartheid was good? No. Killing people is not good. All right? But please, they were not the reason why you did not prosper. You had a better chance prospering under them if you behaved yourself. Okay? You see where I'm going on? So that you know what I'm saying is true. Finally, apartheid was thrown away. They said run the country. Since then, you have not run it up. Let me not say any other thing. You've not brought new development? Nothing? Then finally, they are angry that Nigerians are buying up their land. Mozambicans, yes, Zimbabweans, Zambians, Ghanaians are taking their work. Listen, let me ask you a question. Is it that the employers love foreigners? Ask yourself that question. Even in our country here, let's forget them. I have friends who own companies. Which private companies in Nigeria? Single holding. Which one is the biggest? It's Dangote. Who's his MD? It's an Indian. Yeah. I thought that man was an oil specialist. Well, you don't understand that. No, they've just been with the man for a long time. Loyal to a fault. You think if Dangote found somebody around who would do that for him, that man stood a chance? Many years ago, T.Y. Danjuma said, of course, oil price went up. He has an oil field. He sold it. They paid him $1 billion. So it's after paying government tax and everything. He had and certainly family issues. He had $500 million he had nothing to do with. So he said, okay, what do I do with it? Let's start a T.Y. Danjuma Foundation to give out the money to Nigeria. So just go around looking for where they have need and spend it. He said he didn't need the money. May God take it to a level where you have $500 million you won't need. Say amen. Say amen loud. Say amen loud. See all of that. So the man said, he now needed to employ somebody to run the foundation. So I went to a company in New York that recruits. Help me recruit somebody. And you know what he told them? Make sure he's not a Nigerian. Don't be angry with him. We should be ashamed. He gave them a rule. Just make sure you don't get me a Nigerian. So they threw out the advert. One Nigerian lady applied. Now, you see what I'm saying? After they screened and screened and screened, she was the best. He said, there's only one problem. Chief said that the man said he doesn't want a Nigerian. But you are just the best of the lot. So let's give it a try. So they sent her to come and see him. This is the person they recruited. So he looked at her and said, I told you not to find me a Nigerian. You are a Nigerian. Why should I employ you? She said, Chief, I have spent the last 12 years defending myself in New York. I won't come home and do the same. She refused to answer. The man employed her on the spot. Yeah, told the man. He said, Chief, I have spent the last 12 years defending myself in New York. I will come back home and explain to you why you should employ me. No, sir. The man gave her the job. Now, where I'm going is that what pushed a man to that level? And when somebody surpassed his expectation, he trusted her. So I'm talking to South Africans. Nobody is taking your job because they hate you. It's because they are better than you. I'm sorry to say, and you are an unserious person. If you prove yourself to be good, why would they want to employ somebody from far? They're usually more expensive sometimes, especially when they are trained. You blame the white man for a long time. Now the white man has left you alone. You have to find somebody else to blame. You are blaming shop owners. How can shop owner be your problem? Open your own shop and spread the word around and go to your own shops now. But you don't have a shop. You are waiting for one government to be sharing things out. And the kingdom always suffers violence. And these violent people, you know, in their enterprise, they've come to take it by force. Even when it came to a crime, they came with serious violence. You spent years blaming the white man, which I keep saying, don't bother. But the white man has now left you alone. You didn't see who else to blame. In case you don't know, apartheid ended over 20 years ago. Till now, you've now found your foot. And you are still saying that no, the reason why you can't stand straight is your fellow Africans who does not have the ability to discriminate against you. It's your homeland. You hold the power. You know, that's how you know poor people. Always looking for who to blame. And spiritually poor people, they are the prey of prophets. Your aunt is why you are not making progress. How can she be? I've been telling all of you, please, I won't stop saying it. We're far from December, Abby. But halfway, no be June with this. So. Go soon to the plan. Begin save money. Oh. This December, if you go, some of you that I'm talking to, if you go with less than 50 wraps of a wrapper, witch go injure you. I'm authorizing them to injure you, the witches. Because you are a wicked soul. The village women are not witches. They just want your money. If you go home, you know wrapper. It's expensive now, but a good one, how much is it? Is it 10K? 25? Eh? The correct one. The one that can stand on his own. If you put it there like this, you go walk out from church. Okay, so let's go midway, all right? Let's take 15. You know how much money you have. If you buy 10, how much is that? 150. You buy 100? 1.5. 1.5. Is that not what you use to buy a table for comedy? You that I'm talking to, you know. Comedian comes to town. You buy one table. You put six of your friends, a VIP. In fact, I've changed your own to 2-2. You have to give each person 2. Because just 1.5. Okay. Use 1-1 because you have to put 10K. You don't give rapper, who goes swap? Are you the one that will sew it? So you have to add 10,000 for sewing. And then 5 kg. Bag of rice. Just 100, what do you call it? Half or 1 liter of oil. You can do it, you know. By the time you do all of this, you have not spent 2.5 million naira. And you know. But you want to invest it. May that investment die in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Nonsense. Carry it and go home. All of them will leave Coven and come to church. All this meeting in Coven is poverty. If you say, I'm sharing this thing in St. Peter's Anglican Church, come and see service that day. They go dance. Everybody, worship the Lord. They go look the right. Worship the Lord. What are you talking about? Why would they worship? And God will collect the worship. If you're calling people witches, you've not given them rice, you've not given them oil. So, we'll see. I don't want to do politics there. Let me not mention names. There's one particular Nigerian. Some of you will be angry with me. Please don't be angry. I'm not trying to explain the principle. When one man was bragging, say, we don't give anything, I was laughing in Nigeria. Okay. The man you are contesting against, 3 years before the election, he distributed 1 million bags of rice with his face on it in rural northern Nigeria. That's why we're where we are. That's not why we're where you are. You're a stingy man. That's not why we're where we are. It's not why we are where we are. The people don't know more than rice. See, these are not BSc holders. They have one vote as much as you have with your PhD. I've seen people like that before. They don't understand what goes on in Abuja. They know what goes down their street. They know their children's school fees have not been paid. This is the man that pays it. The election time, they walk up there. I know. I have people in politics. You know what they come to do? Many of us don't know how politics runs. You think it's one we are doing on Facebook and Twitter? No. In the local areas where the population is, those guys go to people and ask, who are we voting for? All this campaign you are doing, they don't know it all.
That's why the politicians don't leave their bases during election. Because their locality will come to them. Who are we voting for? They trust you to make decisions for them. I'm talking about how to end witchcraft. The best here. When I saw the thing, I thought it was a joke. 1 million, small bags, not 50 kg. Small bag, maybe like 10 kg, thereabout. 1 million. With his face on it. I tried to avoid this mistake. Let's not get into politics, all right? So that people don't miss the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to say something here. There's all this called witchcraft you are talking about. The people are not witches. But they can wish you bad and it will come to pass. Do you know why? Anytime you come home, you come in your big SUV, they will look you wicked so, and you are wicked. Listen, I just wish this tire will burst. When 10 people wish the tire of a wicked man to burst, it will burst. It's called accusation. Are you proper not saying that? No, I've told you. Next time you are going. I mean, you've been living in Lagos, Abuja, Enugu, Port Harcourt. You are not going to a village in our Enugu here. All right? And you won't do Thanksgiving. What's wrong with you? You don't know the priest self must eat. Hey, I'm not an Anglican. Okay, I authorize your pastor, okay, on this behalf. You'll be an Anglican in December. Find the choice there. Say you are doing Thanksgiving, how God has kept you and your family for the year. And please do real Thanksgiving. There are two forms of Thanksgiving. There's Father God, we want to thank you. It's good, though. God doesn't mind. But there's one that as you are doing it, somebody's, the fatted calf is being treated outside. Being offered, you understand, as a sacrifice. God will eat it through the mouths of the people in that place. You know what will happen? Next time, if anybody that doesn't do this for you, God will not punish him. Next time, they will be on their knees. Hey, December, may he come home safely. Why won't you come home safely? They know what's going to happen. And the wicked one amongst them, God will say, good, let me now handle this one. You just cross the stream. You just fall. It will just rain all of a sudden in December. The stream will just wash him away. You find his body somewhere in Akwa Ibom. Those are the wicked ones. But the rest are not wicked. Shane, you know, I've told you how to handle witchcraft now, right? Am I not a real prophet? Those who are making you afraid, don't listen to them. There's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. That's the point I'm making. That's where I began my message from. Let me end it there. All right? What I wanted to preach, we'll do it next time. All right? Obina. This man doesn't want us to go home. Maybe I should invite. In fact, one day, December, we should go and sit down somewhere and preach for the whole day. Why eating suya?
Yes.
Yes. It's of God. Yeah, we should. We should. So, Jonah, which do you lead that committee? Yes. Just sit down. Those who want to come, just come. We eat a light breakfast, we pray, then we start preaching. We go preach until we are tired. When I'm tired, I sit down. Somebody else will take over. Then when it's long time, no, we'll finish it with a banquet. Ah, you know? It sounds great, right? Yeah, so, you know, let's talk after. That's the rest of God. You can't just rest like that, you know, you have to... If you do Christianity well, it's sweet too. You know, the other day I saw somebody share the video of communion in one church. He said this is a real communion. He said, you know this one with the breaking tiny, tiny, tiny piece of bread? That one, you know, a fat loaf. They cut into like four. Give one person one. Your drink, you fill your cup. Or this one, that's not how Jesus did it. Do you understand my point? And if you see the church, massive. Wasn't two, three people. Men, whichever bakery supplied them that day will be worshipping. A fat loaf, they cut into like four pieces. Give each person one. Said, one brother said, this is real communion. I said, amen. I don't know if tiny, tiny, tiny wafer. You have to open your mouth. There's something there. Not the will of God. The Lord is good. This is what we're making. Brethren, Say after me, no to fear.
Yes to the plan of God.
Now this is a prophetic word. God has a plan for this country.
Yes.
God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Now it is him and his plan we will talk about.
Amen.
Now let me give you the plan for Nigeria. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nook and cranny of this country.
Amen.
Now let me tell you God's plan for Nigeria. Every knee will bow. To him, every tongue will swear allegiance.
Amen.
They will say of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, in only him is there righteousness and strength.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Traditional rulers of every religion, they will worship him.
Amen.
Remember, we are the enemy. We are the one on the offensive.
Yes.
We are not the one being attacked. Somebody say, Dan Fodio had a plan to bury some. We are going to take. We're not burying the Bible. We are flooding the Sahel with the Bible in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the Sahel of Nigeria, the word of God will prosper.
Amen.
Knees will bow down on the sand and worship Jesus.
Amen.
And he will pour his rain upon that land.
Amen.
What God is doing is more important than what Satan is planning. We magnify him. That's how we began today. And we said, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great. And great is your name in might. Who should not fear you, O King of the nations? It is your due. For amongst all the wise men and all the rulers of the nations, there is none like you. Who cares whatever anybody has planned? Who cares what they planned? In the bottom of the ocean, at the top of the mountains, who cares what they planned? If you want to go to the bottom of the ocean, you will not come out from there. We bury you there permanently. Who cares what they planned? Brethren, stop forwarding around the plan of the enemy. Please, forward around the plan of God. God helping me, I want to sit down and do a video on the plan of God. A prophet came to Nigeria, Pa Elton. Let's share what he said. Why somebody come to scare me about what somebody else is planning? Fear disables the people of God. You know what God said? Don't call a confederacy or conspiracy. What is we call a confederacy? What did he say? Next line. Neither fear you their fears. He said, let the Lord alone. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Fear to disobey him. If he places you in a place, stay there. Stay there. Stay there. You read your Bible, you hear the story of the men of David. David and a man, they defended a field of beans until they fought and fought. At the end of the day, the sword could not be removed from their hands. Their hands were in spasm because of the Spirit of God. Huh? This country, Nigeria. Every piece of it we give to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every city we give to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We said his kingdom will reign over all.
Amen.
His kingdom reigns over all.
Amen.
From Bono State all the way to Cross River.
Amen.
From Sokoto all the way to Lagos.
Amen.
And we cross every bit of these cities, these states. Every nook and cranny, every inch, every square inch, we declare Jesus reigns.
Amen.
You know what he says? Mama, we need to activate the word of God for goodness sake. He says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. And you, that is, you that refuse to kiss him, you perish out of the way. You know what he said? His anger can be stirred up in a moment. What does that tell you? We have not stirred up his anger. No, we have not. We have not allowed his anger to be stirred up. He said, all these things have not stirred up his anger. God said, no, it hasn't. It hasn't. It hasn't because my people have not given me the right response. They kidnapped children. We are shouting, what is government doing? Close all the schools. Let's go on the road. Christians. I keep on saying, what will now the job of Sowore be? What will be the job of Femi Falana? These are the activists. Joe Ajaero, head of NLC, let's leave him to do his job. As for us, let's find a way to kindle the anger of the Son. Let me tell you, Jesus said, when they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. Do you know why? So that he can get angry. People don't know. No. That's the rule. He said, if they slap you on the right cheek and you slap them back, I wait for the next time. Because there's no injustice. You have repaid. I keep on saying, when this whole thing broke out, what do we have camps for? To go and beg for prosperity. This year is my year of childbearing. This year is the year of my marriage. This year is my year of... And you built a whole camp for that nonsense? Did he not say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all these things will be added. It's an addition. Why don't we call a national day Christians of fasting? Say, Lord, we have sinned. When crisis broke out, we ran away. We didn't stand to defend the land. Do you know David did? David said, no, the Lord God has given us. Same thing Jephthah did that time. He said, no, God has given us, so we are going to stand there and possess it. Well, we run. You know, let me just tell you. Let me tell you. Oh, God. Father, help me. Let me end my message anyway. See, there's what is called the justice and the righteousness of God. God in his justice and righteousness gives the land to who wants it to. He could have moved the giants out of the land. He did not. He could have swept away the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, the Perizzite, all those Zites, he could have yanked them out. You know what? He did not. He left them there, left giants there, and told the people of Israel, I have given you that land. That's what he did. They got there, said, there are giants there. He said, I gave it to you. You know, if it's somewhere like Abraham, he will say, if he gave it to us and there are giants there, maybe the giants are not real. Let's go and find out. That's the faith of Abraham. Because they said, kill Isaac. He said, he must have a plan for raising his dead ashes. Because it was supposed to be a burnt offering. He will have a plan for raising ashes. So give me my camcorder. Hold my mobile phone. Let's video how ashes come back to life. God just wanted to say, I want the land. They looked at it. Now, you know, many of us think that it's fear only of giants. I used to think so also. But God said, it's not just about giants. You've shown to me you don't want the land. You don't want it. You've shown that you prefer slavery to freedom. I just wanted to check whether you want the land. I could have driven them away. But I want you to tell me, do you want it? I keep telling people, see, they say, this land, I said, if you want to invest, invest there. Stop abusing Dangote. He invested in the land. Say, government helped him. Don't worry, God will help you. Let's leave government out. God will help you. There are people that said that I did farm. Herdsmen fed their cattle with my crop. Tell God about it and go and plant there again. The more they eat, the more his anger is provoked. Listen, clear it again, plant again, and say, dear Lord, I give it to you. There are times God will say, no, let them eat it. He said, I'm writing it down. They have only 4 seasons of eating until my anger is kindled. He said, when the anger is kindled, it's in a moment. You just see, suddenly, like this terrorist spreading all over the place. Suddenly, there will just be military breakthrough, one after the other. It's not human. Some will say it's because we protested. Your protest has helped nobody. It's because God says, this is the season. You know, there was one man that was saying, we were discussing here last time. He said, Rosa Parks stood and said, why do we talk nonsense? She stood for her rights, saw what happened. I said, you think she was the first to stand for her rights? There were people, men, women, young and old, who stood for her rights all those years. They died in prison. You never read about them. But when the time has come for something, God will just use anyone. Do you get my point? That is, a time comes, the Lord is provoked. And you know, there's a wind that he sends to sweep the locusts into the desert. That when God wants to, you know, you see locusts everywhere. When you pray and say, God says, okay, it's enough. Stirs up the wind. Phew, they will drive the locusts into the desert. They dry up in there. Hey, I pray, please, Christians, let's magnify God. There is none like him. He's great. His name is mighty in power. If he says a thing, it will be established. Please, let's not reject the land. When you do, he has no choice. Don't listen to people who try to scare you. God helping me, I'll sit down and do that. If I can, God helping me. If the Lord permits, I'll sit down and just write things for Christians to say about over the land. That day I told the Lord, where do you think I'm going to go? Our God, you have not made me or my children refugees. So, peace is my portion. Peace in this land is your portion.
Amen.
If you claim it, you will have it. Let's bow down our heads. I wanted to claim the land again. Say, fear is not my portion. I need to pray. Say, fear is not my portion. Say, fear, oh, no, that's not my portion. I refuse to be afraid. Then I want you to bless the land. Claim it. Claim it. Say, Lord, this country, for the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim it. Say, this word is activated over this nation. Say, this word is activated over this nation, your prayer. Say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Just activate that word over this land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Claim your country for Jesus. Say, the earth is the Lord's. These words were given to us to use in prayer. Say it again. The earth is the Lord. And you're talking, your mind is on your nation. Your mind is on your state. Your mind is on your local government. Your mind is on those troubled areas under your own spiritual jurisdiction. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all those who live in it. He will silence the voice of the destroyer. The arm of the destroyer. The weapon of the destroyer is silenced in the name of Jesus. Hey, that's what we need to be doing. Say it in the name of Jesus. Every corner of this nation, we're claiming for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. And say, Jesus, reign. Reign in this nation. Declare it that Jesus will reign. He will reign forever.